You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice
of
Brevard.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. Thanks for joining us here on 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship. We are thankful that you chose to join us here for the next half hour. We're going to be continuing our study in Psalm 69. We've been talking about the reality of David being overwhelmed with problems, his acknowledgement of foolishness and sin. We talked about relational issues, relational strains. We've talked on yesterday's program about zeal for the house of God and zeal for the God of the house. And so I pray that those are realities in your life, not just things that you read about in the Word of God. We're going to drop down today to verse number 13 and be talking about what David's prayer was. And I think it's got some helpful tips in there that you and I can put into place when we find ourselves in similar situations to what David found himself in. First of all, I want to say thank you to the folks of JITS Concrete. They've got decades and decades of experience in all things concrete. They've been a major resource to me through the years, and as well as some people in the church and some other businesses around the area. Contractors that I know have used them for years. They are really, really good at what they do. So if you are looking for a project and it involves concrete, the folks at JITS Concrete may be a great resource for you. Their phone number is 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. If decades of expertise, of good experience, and a great work ethic at a great value sounds like something that might benefit you on your project, they may be someone that you want to call. Greg at JITS Concrete, 321-536-5804. We've got a number of concrete jobs that they've done for us, both at the church and at my house. Listen, my back porch, I had a dream, but I didn't have a plan. And I talked with the team at JITS Concrete, and there was something I didn't have any idea how it was going to be resolved. They came up with a plan. They came up with a solution. I absolutely loved that there is more of my back porch that is user-friendly than it was for a long, long time. And I thank the folks of JITS Concrete, or I have the team at JITS Concrete to thank for it. They did a great, great job for me as well as for the church. So Psalm 69, verse 13. This is David's prayer. But as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord, in the acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of your mercy, hear me in the truth of your salvation. Deliver me out of the mire and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from those who hate me. And out of the deep waters let not the flood water overflow me, nor let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut its mouth over me. Hear me, O Lord, for your loving kindness is good. Turn to me according to the multitude of your tender mercies, and do not hide your face from your servant. For I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw near to my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of my enemies. So as David writes this, I told you at the beginning of this study, which started last Thursday, I believe it was. David was describing his current reality when he described that the waters have come up to his neck and that he was sinking. And in verses 14 through 16 and again in 17 and 18, he describes that that is still his current reality. I pray that all of us develop a relationship with God when we're not in crisis, so it is natural for us to call out to Him when we find ourselves in crisis. I remember when I was a youth pastor, when I was first a youth pastor, I told people, you need to figure out a plan on how you're going to deal with temptation before you have to deal with temptation. If you do not plan to deal with temptation beforehand, you will generally not be successful in dealing with temptation when it shows up. If you do not have a tendency or a routine of calling out to God when things are going well, it's not going to be your inclination to call out to Him when things are not going well. I know a lot of people say that's what they're going to do, but the historical evidence does not show that that is the case when you only have seconds or minutes. People are not there. The evidence doesn't support that they call out to God for forgiveness. Instead, they acknowledge that their understanding of God is not at all what it should be. So, David says here in verse number 13, my prayer is to you. I don't care what anybody else is going to do, but I'm going to pray. I remember having a meeting with a teacher in the public school. One of my children was going there, and the teacher told me in this meeting that he was a Christian, but he was discouraging prayer in his classroom. And so I had a meeting because I was like, look, as a parent, I am encouraging my child to pray, and they're coming home and telling me that you're telling them not to pray. We've got a problem. And he said, well, you know, a lot of times people don't study and they're praying for divine, you know, deposit of wisdom because they didn't put forth the effort. I said, well, that's not my child. And the purpose of the prayers is for God to bring back to their remembrance the things they have studied, and that a spirit of anxiety will not overwhelm them so that they will be able to excel. And I can tell you that that child is smarter than I am. Their GPA proved it. The classes that they took proved it. And it's not a competition, but I can tell you they took their academic career very seriously. As for me, my prayer is to you. I pray that you will pray, that you will never find yourself in a situation where you say, this is hopeless, because you serve the God of all hope. And as a born-again believer that's walking in covenant relationship with God, you have a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week hotline to the throne room of heaven, to the God of all hope, who was able to answer and do so with awesome deeds of righteousness. But as for me, my prayer is to you. The second phrase is, O Lord, in the acceptable time. In the acceptable time. So this is something that I have had to learn. This is not something that you're necessarily going to be able to appreciate until you've experienced it for yourself. And that is that God answers prayer. That's true. It's absolute truth. He values your prayers. He stores them up in heaven. Your prayers are motivation for him. If you read the book of Revelation, you are going to find that much of the actions that take place in the book of Revelation are in response to the prayers of the saints. Prayer is vital. Okay? He hears it, and he answers it in his timing. His acceptable timing. Probably one of the major conversations that comes up more frequently in dealing with young people. And by the way, I just want to shout out and say thank you to Robin and Harley. Harley is on our ministry team. Robin, who's the voice of the intro and the exit of the program. She's the office manager, and I'm thankful for all of my kids. I've mentioned Robin and Harley because they're serving with us because they want to reach the young people of our community. And my son is a youth pastor. My daughter is the children's ministry director of the church she attends up in North Florida. My son is in Cocoa, where his wife is the worship leader. So when I talk about reaching young people, it's kind of like the family business. I started off as a youth pastor. And young people struggle with timing because they want it, and they want it right now. We've become a society that is used to instant gratification. It was not that long ago where it would take a long, difficult journey to get from one side of the country to the other coast of the country. It was a long, difficult, sometimes lethal journey. People died making that journey. And now you can hop on a plane and be halfway around the world in a matter of hours. And so we're so used to instant gratification. I got a confession to make here for you. I'm the guy that stands at the microwave, and I don't like my food coming out, you know, boiling. You know, I like to be able to continue to retain my taste buds and my throat and all of that sort of stuff. I really don't want to traumatize, you know, those parts of my anatomy. But I'm the type of person that is there, and I'll set a timer for it, and I say, oh, that's hot enough, and I'll just take it out. I stand there not remembering what it was like to have leftovers when I was a teenager, where it was you broke out the leftovers and you put them into a pot and you had to heat them up on the stove, and it was a lot more challenging. There was a time when people operated on a cash basis. You know, that might be different if you were buying a house, but most everything was taken was a cash transaction. Now you can buy it on time. And if you're tempted to do that, I would encourage you to reconsider, because the borrower is servant to the lender. So there are some things that are so expensive that you may have to do some transactions in difficult times that way. But I would encourage you, do not start digging a financial hole for yourself at the beginning of your adult life, because it takes a lot longer to fill in that hole than what you think it will. So when we pray in an age of instant gratification, we want God to answer right now. God, where's my spouse? Well, they may not be saved yet. God, when am I going to get that ministry position? Well, you may not be in the right geographical location yet. There's some things that I've got to work in you to develop you, so that when you're going through difficult times, you are not tempted to throw in the towel. There's been a lot of things that I've gone through that built character into me, that has sustained me, where others who did not have nearly as difficult a journey didn't do very well when it came to seasons of adversity. Not saying that to glorify me. I'm just saying I have learned that God's timing is better than Bob's timing, even when I don't understand it. And so David here prays, O Lord, in the acceptable time. And so my wife was sitting at a stoplight, and she was going to turn left. The light turned green, and something happened. And this would have been driving me crazy if I was the person behind her. I'm just going to tell you that right now. If I had been the person behind her, this would have got a honk to let her know that the light had turned green. And something happened, and she didn't get to go as soon as the light turned green. And before she entered the intersection, there was a person that was going at a high rate of speed, and they ran the red light. And my wife became oh so grateful that there was a delay rather than a collision. It's my belief that when we get to heaven, we are going to see that God intervened a lot more in our life than what we are aware of. Abraham and Sarah tried to expedite God's timeline. That didn't go so well. And if you try and expedite God's time, that's not going to go well for you either. Nor does it go well if we lag behind. Our goal is to keep in step with the Holy Spirit, to walk the path that God has assigned for us, to journey in faith with Him. And so please, as you pray, make sure that you are listening for God's timing. There was a battle. I believe this is in the book of Judges, when the children of Israel were dealing with the Sodom and Gomorrah like sin that had taken place by the tribe of Benjamin, and they prayed. They said, "Should we go up against them?" Yes, they got defeated. They prayed, "Should we go up again?" And the answer was yes, and they got defeated again. The third prayer was, "God, when should we go?" He said, "Tomorrow." The children of Israel came to the brink of the promised land, and God said, "Go in." And they said, "We're not going." And He said, "Okay, the other alternative is you're all going to die in the wilderness until I raise up a generation that can go in." They said, "Well, we're going to go in." I said, "No, that's no longer an option." God's timing is something very important. Don't rush it. And don't procrastinate it. But when God says go, like go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, making disciples, those are all things that we're supposed to be doing. So, O Lord, in the acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of your mercy, remember that when you are praying, you are not praying to an angry God, you are praying to a merciful God. A God full of mercy. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve. Now, I don't know if the pit that David was dealing with was because of his foolishness. I don't know if it was because of his sin, but he acknowledges both of those things as well as the reality of the pit. And he's crying out and saying, God, in the multitude of your mercy, thank God that he is rich in mercy. And the prayer goes on, hear me in the truth of your salvation. Okay. God knows the truth of what you're facing. He also knows the solution. He knows who's doing what, to whom, and he knows if this is an act of judgment or whether it is an attack of the enemy. So God, we need you to hear us in the truth of your salvation. Salvation is not meant to be an event. It's supposed to be the beginning of a lifestyle. Salvation is supposed to be the beginning of a covenant relationship. And a covenant says this: if David is in the pit, then God is in the pit. If you find yourself in the fire, I can assure you that if you're walking in covenant relationship with God, God is also in the fire. If you are in the flood, God's going to be in the flood. If you're on the mountaintop, God's there with you. If you're in the valley, God's there with you. If you're in a place surrounded by a multitude, God is the most important person in that crowd. If you find yourself in a wilderness, a desert place, God is right there with you. And he hears us with the goal of him being the source of our salvation. It says, deliver me out of the pit or out of the mire. Don't let me sink. Let me be delivered from those who hate me and out of the deep waters. Let not the flood water overflow me, nor let the deep water swallow me, and let not the pit shut its mouth on me. Verse 16. Hear me, O Lord, for your loving kindness is good. Our relationship with God is not based upon our performance. God is a God that is full of loving kindness. One of my favorite phrases in the New Testament talks about when Jesus was moved with compassion. Says it in the New Testament, but it's also a truth in the Old Testament. That when he looks upon us, a lot of times it's not the attributes that the world would find desirable. Many times it's exactly the opposite. The world is enamored with the rich, the powerful, the beautiful, the famous. And God told Israel, it's not because you were the most numerous people. You were among the least of the people. What really set Israel apart was that Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. So thank God for his loving kindness. I shared with our church, God chose us long before we chose him. And I will tell you today that God chooses you. He chooses you to be a part of his family. I know of a situation. It was a very tragic situation where the dad died young, the mother died young, and not like a young mother, but young by health standards. It was very, very young. And so there was this person who, you know, as a very young teenager, found themselves without parents. And the parents had chosen people to be the guardian of their child should anything happen. And even though that family had been chosen, the relational dynamic there wasn't fully understood or appreciated. And even though they chose the child did not choose them. And that can be very, very painful. I will tell you, the offer of God's salvation and his loving kindness and his mercy towards you and towards me, that is not something that we are going to find a better offer of. The last part of verse number 16 says, "Turn to me according to the multitude of your tender mercies." So I've always tried to shoot straight with young people, and I was like, you know, talk to the girls at some point in time. How many of you want a guy that's really good looking? And they all said they wanted. I said, well, what if that really good looking guy turns out to be someone who's really abusive and he's not loving, he's very harsh and things like that. And they's like, well, no, I wouldn't want that. And so I tried to use that to say, you know, you really ought to go to the Word of God and see what God has to say about the type of person that he wants to find for us and order our steps and direct our path. I will tell you this. I am so thankful that God is a God who is rich in mercy. I'm glad that his tender mercies are brand new each and every day. I pray that they will be brand new for you as well. You have a great day. Go off and celebrate the privilege we have to cry out to a merciful and compassionate God. We'll see you next time here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."